Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, JV. In this show, my co-host, James Tapeleg Grayling, and I talk about the Avalanche players we lost this offseason, a little bit more about preseason hockey, Twitter and the Shahana Band, Peter Forsberg night, and how we almost got sponsored by Chipotle. True story there. Those topics and a lot more Avalanche stuff coming at you in episode number 66 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Welcome to the season, Avalanche fans, and you're starting it off right with James and me. Stick around. We'll be right back. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche. I'm your host, Jay Veen. Welcome to the season. I'm here once again. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. As always, by my man, James Tapeleg Grayling. James, what's going on, man?
Good morning. Are you, if it's as always, are you getting bored with it yet? Are you getting bored?
No way. Oh, I'm not bored. And if I'm not bored, nobody else is going to be bored.
I'm not bored.
That's how that goes. This is my main man, everyone. It may sound, as you listen right now, for those of you that are new to the show, like we're sitting with each other in the same room, you know, talking eye to eye. We're not. James, you're in Buffalo. Is that correct?
I'm in Buffalo, New York. It is bleak. It is dreary. It is rainy. And there is more hockey enthusiasm right now in Buffalo than I have seen in a long time in just about any city. People here are psyched for the season.
Go Sabres.
A guy rode by us on a moped the other day, and just as he was riding by, he yelled, "Go Sabres!" You don't see that everywhere.
Just random, "Go Sabres!"
Yeah.
So yeah, we're not in the same room. I live in Denver. James travels. That's what he does. Although he's going to be in town. Yeah, that's right. You're going to be in town for a couple weeks, and we'll be able to do face to face podcasting, which is always our favorite. But James makes it sound as though we're sitting in the same room. But we're not. So if it's a little awkward, if I'm stepping on his toes, which I like to do, it's not on purpose. I just can't reach across the table and slap him in the back of the head when I need to talk. What's that?
In the huge noggin.
You're not going to miss either of our noggins. So early morning podcast. It is Sunday, October 2nd. As we record this, we'll have this posted within the next couple of days. Sad parts about James not being in town. We can't talk face to face. It gets a little awkward because it's just tough to talk over a microphone in our cell phones. But also, there's no Chipotle. That's sad, you know. We're trying to find things to celebrate here.
Chipotle, who, by the way, we are not sponsored by at all. We have no affiliation.
But we tried. We tried. I haven't sent you the email, but Brian Rookstuhl, who's calling me Justin right now, Rook tried to get us a sponsorship. He actually emailed Chipotle and said, "The Avs Hockey Podcast, your home for almost everything Avalanche, wants you to sponsor them. We would like 3 burritos per podcast," and they turned us down.
Well, of course he tried to cut himself in.
Well, he deserves it if he's going to make that effort, but we'll have to put together
a more
professional business proposal so we can get some burritos for our faces. But yeah, we're not sponsored by anybody. So along those lines, we're not associated with the Avs, although we love our Avs. We're not sponsored. We just do this on our own, and we do it for the fans. We are kind of by the fans for the fans. This is year number 5 of the podcast. I started out on my own, and James and I got together about 3 years ago. And well, that sounded awkward. We became partners three years ago, and the rest is kind of history. So that's about it. James, tell the people about yourself just a little bit.
If you're new to the podcast and you haven't listened to us before, my name's James Grayling, and I've had a hockey blog for a little over 5 years at jerseysandhockeylove.com. About 3 years ago, I started the Rink podcast and really started doing a weekly podcast. Kind of lulled off a little last year, and it's making a comeback this year at www.rinkpodcast.com. And a few years ago, called up Jay, said, "Hey, want to have you on the show," and we hit it off, and we've been doing the Avs Hockey Podcast together ever since.
And having a partner, there's nothing better than that. So having a podcasting partner, we're good to go. Let's see. My name's Jay Veen. For those of you that don't know me, been doing the hockey thing around Denver for about 25 years. Nothing special about me. I just love hockey. I love the game. I noticed about 5 years ago that a Avs podcast, and you know, there was another guy doing an Avs podcast around here, Chris Zeal, who was very, very kind to me and had me on a couple times, and he, you know, kind of ran out of time and had to do something that actually paid him money as well. So we don't get paid for this, not even in burritos, by the way. But you know, I just thought there would be a niche for this, and it's kind of stuck, and met a lot of great people, including James and many, many others of you out there. You know who you are, and the rest is kind of history. So the Avs Hockey Podcast, your home for almost everything Avalanche. We'd like to say everything, but we can't be everything, and we can't cover everything. We just cover what we want. But it's our show. That's what we can do. So let's see. Last show, I mentioned it in the intro, and I'm not sure if a lot of you caught it, but you'll notice a new voice in the intro. That's my, she was a little before 2 years old. That's my daughter, Evelyn, who's saying go Avalanche. So since then, we've added another AHP family member to the AHP family. So staying busy, not getting a whole lot of sleep, but there's always time for Avalanche and there's always time for podcasting. But for those of you that hear the new edition, that is my daughter. She likes the Avalanche already, and I have no idea how that happened. So there we go.
I can't wait until we can start exploiting your youngest one now for our own media creations. Get her involved, yes, in the whole thing.
Child, yeah, labor, absolutely.
It works great.
Yeah. If I yell at Evelyn enough, she'll say go Avalanche. So you know me as that.
Like, that sounds like child abuse. You shouldn't watch that.
You know me as that kind of a person. I know you do. I'm just mean spirited.
And my daughter.
Yes. I don't. It hurts me to even say that, let alone do it. But yeah, we'll start exploiting the other one, and we'll get maybe some choruses or something like that. But all right. So let's get going. This is episode number 66 of the show. For those of you that have listened for a while, we always match it up with a jersey number. The Avalanche have never had a 66 worn during the regular season. And as far as the preseason, I can't remember one either. We can go preseason 2, which we'll go with the next show. We do have a 67. I know none of you might remember that, but I have a jersey. But imagine that, jerseys. So this is episode number 66. We could call it the Mario Lemieux Show. I think we'll call it the Peter Forsberg Show. You cool with that, James?
Absolutely.
All right, Peter Forsberg night coming up a week from yesterday, October 8th. Retiring number 21 to go to the Raptors. It's going to be great.
I'm really James looking forward. I'm so looking absolutely forward to this game.
Absolutely. It's going to be a long night, but it's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be kind of emotional, night, too. Yeah, well, it'll be kind of emotional, too. Let's talk about that. Since our last show, we've had some losses in the hockey world. Some of those losses had to do with former Avalanche players. Ruslan Soleil and Carlos Grashtinsh both passed away in the plane crash in Russia. I know anybody who knows anything about hockey had heard about that. James, talk a little bit about Soleil. I know that brings back some memories for you.
For me, Soleil was a bit of a conundrum with the Avalanche. And my memories mostly of Soleil go back more to the 2003 season when he was with the Ducks. And that miracle run, I guess, the Cinderella story of riding it all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals. That was a team that really shouldn't have gone as far as they did, but they really did it on the backs of J.S. Chiguer, who is now an Avalanche, and a defensive team that, you know, with Ruslan Soleil. And Ruslan Soleil was a big part of that team, and just his toughness and the like. When he was traded from Florida to the Avalanche for, of all people, Carlos Grashtins, I was really excited. And it didn't quite pan out the way that we were expecting, but mostly it was because of that 2003 Anaheim, or Mighty Ducks of Anaheim season.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Did Ruslan Soleil score in his first game as an Avalanche?
I can't correct you at all on that because I'm not sure.
I'm not positive about it, but he scored really early in his stay here. And for a defenseman, that's always special. That's one thing I remember about him. That was interesting. And as far as Grashtinsh as well, set the record here for most consecutive games played for a defenseman. He broke Tim Horton's record. I believe it was in town as well. They had a great ceremony. I was there for that at Pepsi Center. Neither of them had any, you know, It's that time of the Avalanche era where there really wasn't that many great things going on. Although 2005-06 was a pretty good year as far as the playoffs. I mean, they won the first round series against the Stars, but some sad times, pretty shocking. Found out about it through Twitter obviously, where you find so many different things out. But yeah, kind of, you know, it's really sad. There's really not much more to say about it. It's depressing. It's, makes you think about the NHL a little bit, makes you think about, what if this did happen in the NHL, and they do have a disaster plan. Unfortunately, but you have to have these things. I guess what would happen is, you know, each player has $1 million insurance policy on them, and the teams would use that money to acquire new players. Each team in the NHL would be able to protect, I believe it's 12 players, and everybody else would be fair game, and they would put together a team, and the season would go on. But I don't know if anybody else out there saw the YouTube video with the KHL game that was going on at that point. Late in the first period, and an official comes out, and it didn't need to be translated. He comes out and says something to the crowd. The place goes absolutely silent, and they end the game. Everybody just, you know, the teams filed off into the locker rooms, and the fans filed out of the arena. And, you know, I guess Lokomotiv is not going to have a team this year. Is that correct, James?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
They decided that it was just going to be too much to put a team together, and you know, really, I can't blame them at all.
It's just and you think about it, if it was your team, if God forbid anything like this ever happened, but I mean, you see on the news that your hockey team died in a plane crash. I mean, it's just like I can't imagine what their biggest fans are thinking. With all the, I mean. And it's sad, obviously, for their families, all that stuff. But the talent that's lost, the great people that are lost, how this affects everybody in the hockey community, I don't know. It's scary to think about if it ever happened in the NHL.
The NHL has a little tribute video that they put together for these guys. It's short. It's short but sweet. But I saw it at the Buffalo Sabres Carolina Hurricanes preseason game a couple weeks ago, and it's just heartbreaking. It's absolutely heartbreaking to see them. And some of these players, they have every player that had ties to the NHL, and right. A few of them just have like drafted by they have who they played for, and some of them have huge lists of the teams that they played for. These guys touched pretty much every corner of the hockey world. And when you think about, you know, some of the people involved, not just Slay and Scratches, but Pavel Dimitra.
Absolutely.
That was stunning. That's a guy that you just can't imagine is suddenly taken from us like that.
Yeah. Some of the images, the Russian media is obviously a little different than American media. Some of the images that were posted, I mean, it's pretty disturbing. They really haven't figured out a whole lot about the flight. I guess there was one lone survivor, one of the crew members, who has already said that there wasn't anything wrong with the plane. They said there wasn't any mechanical issues. So I think what they're saying now is there was too much weight on the plane or something. And there's a lot of things that have been said about the plane and Russian aviation. It doesn't really matter now. But yeah, and then there's the image of Carl Scratchton's daughter at one of the, I think it was it Olympics? It's an international game. And she has the sign in her hand that says, "Don't mess with my daddy. He is Iron Man." So just kind of basically tears at your heart, especially with me having two daughters now. I mean, it's going to be a lot to deal with. So, I mean, next Saturday is going to be exciting for a lot of reasons. You get to talk about Peter Forsberg. We can talk about that in a little bit. But you can also remember some of the people that we've lost, especially former Avalanche. Wade Bielak, let's not forget about him, too. Committed suicide a couple Let's see, was it a few weeks ago? A little bit more than that.
Mm-hmm. Right Denver before the Lokomotiv incident, I believe.
Yeah. It's been the most depressing. I think I put a tweet out there that said, if this isn't the most depressing or worst offseason ever, I don't want to see it. A lot of sadness, a lot going on. Wade Bielak with Denver ties. Wade Bielak's wife actually went to high school at East High School, where I went to school. She graduated a year before me. They had two young daughters themselves. I think they were 5 and 7. I can't imagine what they're dealing with now. So the NHL is really, they're in an interesting position because, who was it? Brent Sopel, I believe, put a tweet out there after all this and said, yeah, we're just pieces of meat basically. And it's true in a sense, to the point where, you either play for the team and you're well taken care of, but once they cut you and you're gone, there's really not a whole lot of support. And, different players deal with it different ways, but I can imagine you work your entire life trying to get into the job and you are known as a hockey player And once you get cut, you're not a hockey player anymore. And that's a lot to deal with. And like I said, people deal with it different ways, and just a really sad off season. So hopefully, this season will be, as special as it was sad during the off season. And that would be just fine with me.
Last night I was at a, Erie Otters, junior game, and there was a guy there with a locomotive jersey on. And
cool.
I had to go up and say, "Hey, nice jersey," you know. And
have you decided what you're going to wear to opening night yet? Or are you going to wear your locomotive?
Yeah,
or
I'm going to wear my, okay. I'm going to wear my locomotive jersey. I have a,
that'll be cool.
Just oddly enough, an Ivan Chichenko game worn, jersey. And he was, not at the time when, I had this, but when, you know, at the end, he was actually the captain of the team.
No kidding.
Yeah. And I, you know, I, it's always been one of those jerseys that, that I've always said, "Oh, this is just such a cool jersey. I love this jersey," and this and that. And now it's just the so many ties now. It's it's definitely going to be the one. It was, I was either going to wear that or my, Carlos Grassen's, practice jersey. It was the last, practice jersey he wore with the team.
Right.
But, no, it's definitely going to, if you see a locomotive jersey, at, we're at number 17 at the, opening night, it's me. So come on up and say hi. But
absolutely. Yeah. We'll be there opening night. You'll notice James's jersey. You won't be able to read it, but you'll know it's a locomotive jersey when you see it. I doubt anybody in the arena, anybody else in the arena will have a locomotive game worn on. So if you, see James or see myself, come say hi, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. We'll have a little meetup, and that should be fun. So, you know, thoughts to everybody that's affected as far as Wade Bielak's family, Ruslan Slay, Carlos Grassen, all those guys, kind of hit home and not in a very good way. So, we just wanted to mention that, obviously. And, you know, it's just, there's really not much more to be said about that. So,
yeah. And by the way, really good, a big shout out to, Dmitry Chesnikov of,
absolutely.
Puck Daddy.
I've talked
to him a couple times on, the Rink podcast, but he did such an amazing job during the locomotive, tragedy. He did so much work to, confirm, to make, you know, to really good reports, and just of, he really is a cherry in the top of the sundae that is Puck Daddy for the Russian coverage. And of all of the negatives that can be said about Russian sports coverage, Dmitry is all of the positives. So really big kudos to him on that. I'm sure it was a very difficult day for him as well.
Oh, and then I think, you know, he's riding the line between all the people that he's met and talked to, and I'm sure it's especially difficult for him being the fan and being, you know, having the job that he has. But no, I have to echo that, although I don't have the personal ties like you do to him. But yeah, he did an outstanding job, and I know a lot of people echo what you just said. So again, hopefully we can find some good that comes out of all this, and it's definitely going to feel good to have hockey back, especially after all the things that happened, you know, this off season with Derek Boogaard and also
Rick Rybin.
I mean, just an awful off season. So hopefully the season is as special as it was crap during the off season. So, you got anything else on that, James? Shall we move on? Let's talk about happier stuff.
I think it's best just to move forward on this, and we'll try it. These are always hard. You know, it's funny, we like to keep it light, but at the same time, how do you transition out of something like that and go, "Hey, yeah," without sounding kind of cold and callous?
You don't. Yeah, you don't. And I don't have any, you know, if I did this for a living, I could probably come up with something better, but I don't have anything better. So let's just move on. Worn with pride, James. Do you wear your jerseys with pride?
I wear just about every jersey with pride. How do you wear a jersey with shame? This is just too bad. I shouldn't be wearing
that. That ad campaign would suck really badly. Worn with shame. I guess this is, you know, the Avalanche's newest ad campaign. They always have something. Last year, all about the A? Was that what it was?
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun with that. It was all about the ambulance. It was all about ambivalence. It was about playing like ass. It was all kinds of stuff.
It was all
this year
about
is,
being average.
This oh dang, how did we miss that last year? It's never too late though. So this year it's worn with pride. I guess the A on their chest is worn with pride. Every time I see it, it just comes to my head. You're damn right it is. But I've always been like that, and that's, you know, literally, I think when you and I both love our jerseys, for those of you that don't know us that well. I wear my jerseys with pride. I don't, you know, I'm that's what I do. So this doesn't hit home. It doesn't like make me want to go to more games or anything, but it's definitely better than it's all about the A. It was just kind of weird. A lot more in town, a lot more. And I know you don't see this as much, but you will when you come back into town. A lot more commercials on television. I actually saw a commercial the other day with, you know, the faces of the Avalanche coming right at your face. Flyers in the mail on bus stops. They have the little huts that people sit in. They've got, you know, the, you know, worn with pride and people, and, you know, they don't caption the photos though. So I'd be really interested to see if anybody knows who these guys are. They've got Eric Johnson, Matt Duchene, and Paul Stastny. Those are the three that you see most often. And they have billboards as well. The team is definitely trying. So you have to give them credit for that. A lot of people have said, why don't they try a little harder to put themselves out there to at least let people know what's going on with the team. But, they've definitely tried. But the best advertising is winning, and they're going to have to do a lot of that this year to get people excited about hockey like they used to be here. So, got thoughts on that, James? Have you seen anything else? You're going to have to get here before you see a lot of that.
Yeah, I haven't really seen much, but what it sounds like is that they're marketing more to the core fans that are already still there, that are still around town, rather than trying to get new fans. And really, that's not a bad thing, I think. At this point, there's so few people going to the games, or at least compared to the way it used to be. We used to pack that house. And now, after opening night, which happens to be Forsberg retirement night and against the Red Wings, that obviously sold out pretty fast. But they need to do more, not just selling to new people, but getting the old core audience back. They need to get those fans back in the building just as much. I think it's hard to split your attention between those two. As much as we want new fans in there, even getting half of the old fans back would be a major boost to the team and to the business.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, the easy, you know, I don't know, formula for that is to win. And I'm excited about hockey season this year. They're going to be better, like we talked about in our last show. I just don't know if they're going to, you know, win enough games to where, you know, Pepsi Center is the place to be if you want to be somewhere in Denver sports. But what's interesting, too, is that there may not be a basketball season. I wonder if that might help, if people are looking for something to do, although Avalanche games aren't, like, affordable. But they do, you know, they do an okay job getting ticket packages out there, and they want people in the building, that's for sure. And they've done a lot of things via social media. They're working harder. The Avalanche is now tweeting during the game, and it's not play by play. It's, you know, maybe 10 tweets by the team to give you key stats to just update you in a very basic way. And I like that. And I think it's something that a lot of teams don't do or have done in the past, and the Avalanche haven't done. But I like that so far, and it'll be interesting to see how that evolves over, you know, during the season, because they've done a good job, and I thank them over Twitter for that, because that's something that's been missing from their Twitter account for a long time. So they're listening, and you have to give them credit for that.
I think they're also starting to see that social media and Twitter and the like isn't as scary as it seems. You always see things like, oh, this person made this mistake, and they did this stupid thing on Twitter, and now everybody's pissed off. But then they also have Matt Duchene, Daniel Winnick, David Jones. They have Twitter accounts, and they're updating the fans, and fans are talking to them. And now we're seeing, I think it's kind of proving to the Avalanche, at least I hope it's proving, if they're paying attention to it, that this can be a positive force and that they can build off of it rather than be afraid of it.
No, I totally agree. And they're definitely, they're making an effort. So you have to give them credit, and we'll see how it plays out during the season. You know, one face that's missing from the ad campaigns, and everybody knows I have a pretty big man crush on Milan Hayduk, but his face isn't in really any of the campaigns. You see him every once in a while, but the main three, like I said, were Eric Johnson, Matt Duchene, and Paul Stastny. So it's interesting that a guy that's been around for us old school, I guess what you call them, Avalanche fans, since almost the very beginning, you know, the guy that's I'd say besides Foote, who they'll retire as far as his number goes, isn't in that. But he's never been that face anyways. He's just not that kind of a player. And that's probably why, well, if he doesn't get named captain, why he won't get named captain. He's just that quiet guy that gets his job done and has magical hands. So, I just noticed that, but it's neither here nor there. So we'll see how it goes. I think opening night's still going to be pretty exciting. Like you said, it would have sold out anyways because it's a Red Wings game. But we'll see. I bet you by our next podcast, we'll have a pretty good idea what attendance is going to be like for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the NBA season being out and whether or not they're going to get more fans, casual fans coming in the door. It was, I've heard a couple of takes, one being that, of course, you know, it's positive for hockey because there's just less and so people will want to flock to it. The other side that I heard was that NBA fans, of course, are not unfamiliar with the fact that hockey exists. There's a lot of shared buildings, Nuggets fans know that the Avalanche are around, but if they're not coming, it's not because they don't have ample opportunity. It's just they're not hockey fans. I'm not a basketball fan. And during the lockout, I didn't go to any NBA games because I wouldn't. It just, I'm not a fan of basketball. I think that's more how it's going to work, but I'll be happy if I'm wrong about that. I'll be very happy.
I'm just reaching. I don't think there's a lot of, I mean, especially when the seasons coincide like they do as much as they do. I mean, the playoffs are basically at the same time. It's tough to be a fan of both if you're not, you know. I'm sure there's some fans that are at Pepsi Center who love the Avalanche and love the Nuggets and are there four or five times a week when they have homestands, you know. So it definitely takes a dedicated fan with a whole lot of money to make that happen. But I don't know. You never know. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how the beginning of the season goes besides the Red Wings game. To see what attendance looks like, and we'll keep an eye on that for you guys out there. So the Avalanche just wrapped up their preseason as well. They finished 2-4. Everybody was freaking out at 1-4, but they had a pretty nice win against the Kings, Frozen Fury, in Las Vegas last night. They won that one 4-1. Everybody gets really excited or really bent out of shape about preseason action. I know you probably haven't seen many tweets from me and James about the preseason because honestly, from my perspective, it really doesn't matter that much. Some of the play-by-play from training camp is it is what it is. I know I say that a lot, but that's what it is. But
I would say it's kind of excessive at times. I think that there's only so much that you can say and watch and tweet about in real time about a game.
Yeah.
Without the context of actually seeing it. And nobody was seeing these preseason games. Altitude didn't broadcast them. Maybe someone somewhere else did. But if you're in Colorado and you had like Game Center online, you were probably blocked out.
Right.
There's only so much that you can really do. And when somebody says, hey, good pass, and I wasn't watching, and it comes 3 minutes later on my Twitter stream, it's like, that really doesn't help at all.
And it's tough to gauge everybody's talent when they're playing against, you know, about 30-40% of these guys. You'll never see them in the NHL, you know. So it's tough to gauge how well everybody's going to do. I mean, I know Ryan O'Reilly had a pretty good preseason. He scored, you know, a bunch of goals. He scored, you know, he's done pretty well. But it's tough to gauge how that's going to play out against true NHL players on a different team when everything really matters. So I try not to get really excited about it. You know, I keep everybody up to date as I can. But it's, you know, and it's interesting for Avalanche fans because there's 37 different players that played for the Avalanche last year. So you recognize a lot of the games that you otherwise wouldn't have seen, or a lot of the players that you otherwise wouldn't have seen. So that's interesting in that fact, but, it's tough to get really excited or really up or really down about preseason hockey when, it's not the real thing. It's interesting and you want to watch it and you want to see how these guys do, but normally it's against, you know, 30-40% of the other team, whether it's the Avalanche or, you know, the Kings, where, you know, probably 3 out of those 10 guys are going to be sent back down to the AHL and you'll never see them again.
Absolutely. And, look at last year, what happened with the defensive core, that there were so many defensemen that had to play in front of the goalies. And of course the goalies didn't do very well, shockingly enough. Now, here we are, exact same thing for the preseason. That's just how it works. You try people out, you try out different lines, you try chemistry, and there just isn't enough time to shoehorn in chemistry fast enough. And yet, what's going to be the most under scrutiny this year is going to be goaltending. So everybody's looking at this team right now and saying, oh, is the goaltending good enough? And if the rest of the season played out like these six games, well, the answer would be no, but that's why you have these games, to get the goaltending, to get it together.
The rest of the season, Varlamov and Jaguar aren't going to be playing behind the same six defensemen. I mean, a few of those defensemen will be moved. there'll be some health issues. I mean, the only way to really find out how the season's going to go is just to watch the season. And so that's why you don't see a whole lot of excitement, although I do need to make my way down to training camp and check that out. I think I'll bring Evelyn with me next year. I'll force her to come. You're going to sit there and you're going to watch hockey and you're going to like it. I think that'll be fun. But maybe the story, not the story of the preseason, but an interesting thing caught my eye is Matthew Shane sent a tweet after the 6-0 loss to the Kings game before last. And he sent out a tweet that said, you know, I don't follow him. I don't follow any of the players because I know they're not going to say anything earth shattering. But he did say, you know, he basically said, we apologize for that and we're not going to have that happen again. A lot of Avs fans got excited about that. Some got angry. Some, I don't know, a lot of feelings behind that. James, do you expect tweets from your players like that after they get smashed like the Avalanche did that night?
I don't expect it, but I'm certain that Matt Duchesne's going to do it because he seems to do that. He talks about, he'll usually send a tweet after a game. Right. Good or bad.
And, good win by the boys. That's you get that one a lot.
Yeah. Or he gives a shout out to somebody or whatnot. But
sure.
One of the things he said was this was a tweet that he sent out, two tweets or that. The second one was, this Avs team is not the same one from last year, so don't get used to seeing games like that. We're not going to disappoint you guys again. Obviously, he's tuned into how people felt, and now you can actually, you know, reach out and touch these guys a lot easier than before.
And we can touch them. You want to touch the players?
You could. I didn't say I wanted to, but you could.
Sorry, that's an honest.
In the audience that would like to. We're not going to get into that.
We won't drop any names, but they know who they are. That's for sure.
They do.
Yeah.
And, you know, you take a look at, Eric Nystrom in a preseason game. Got into a situation racing for the puck. I guess he got tangled up with a player. And I'm searching for the name and I can't. Taylor Fedden. Sorry, I don't have a pronunciation guide right in front of me right now.
We do know he broke his femur though. We do know that.
That's exactly. Yes. Exactly. And then, but Nystrom is on Twitter and fans were chirping at him about it.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, that's something that's hard. That how do you get those people away from, you know, how do you still be honest and in touch with your fan base and not have that kind of thing throwing you off, affecting your life, things like that.
Yeah. So Dan Ellis, anyone?
Oh yeah. Fake Dan Ellis, which unfortunately fake Dan Ellis just hung up the skates.
Was that? It was someone we knew. It was a guy that I follow. He was the San Jose Sharks guy. Megalodon DOC or whatever. Yeah.
Battle of California.
Yeah. That was very interesting. Very interesting.
But you know, so thank goodness that Matt Duchesne is tweeting. But it's going to be a mixed bag no matter what happens, with the social media. That's the social part of it. You can't just turn your back on other people. It has to be you with them. And now here's Matt Duchesne saying, well, I'm sorry about that. I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think that he needs to answer directly to us. We're not his coach. We're not his GM. We're not his agent. We're not his teammates. I think that it's great that he'll acknowledge it, that he'll say something. And, you know, if there's anything that Avs fans want right now, especially at this time, it's hope. There's, you know, GM George McPhee is banking on the Avs tanking this year and getting a lottery pick for the first round pick that we sent for Varlamov. Fans are banking on that not happening at all. So
damn.
I say good for Matt Duchesne for at least providing more hope than just about any other face that the Avalanche or the media put in front of the fans.
Yeah. And you know, overall, tweet or no tweet, I would hope that's how the team feels, period. And I would assume that's how the team feels because their jerseys are worn with pride. But I mean, you know, these guys are professionals. These guys work their tails off. This is their livelihood. And if they don't feel that way, they're, you know, I think they won't be around that long anyways. I thought the tweet was interesting. I'm not expecting many more. First off, I'd hope they wouldn't play that way, but it's going to happen eventually. They're going to have their off nights. but I'm not expecting any more tweets like that. Just because I'm just one of those fans that I don't feel we're owed an explanation for a lot of the things that goes on with the team on and off the ice. We're fans and, you know, we're just because everybody's on Twitter, just because of this or that, we're not owed that. Although, let's change gears just a teeny bit here. Do you follow NHL Shanahan? Do you follow Brandon Shanahan on Twitter? Have you been seeing some of the videos that he posts?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, it's really interesting. So those explanations are, I like that. I think it's a great use of new technology. It's a great way to get the voice out there. It's a great way to get players to think about exactly what they're doing. But it's a much more social way to deal with it. And I like that. I think it's really, really interesting. Are you following NHL Shanahan? Are you following that Twitter account too?
The comedy parody Twitter account?
Yes, and it's absolutely. Actually pretty good. So if you're not following both of those, there's NHL Shanahan, which is Brendan Shanahan's official account where he posts videos and says why you've been Shanahan. And NHL Shanahan is the one mocking Shanahan, and it's actually pretty good. But they're both good. But, you know, so Twitter again, and you know, the NHL has to adjust their social media policy or even create one. And that's the power that Twitter has. So, you know, I say it a lot. Twitter giveth and it taketh away as well. So you've got the Nystrom thing where people jump on them and chirp. And I'm sure we don't see half of what's said to them, which I can't imagine. But then you've got Duchesne who reaches out to the fans for the right reasons and says that's not going to happen again. And, you know, so Twitter is what it is, but it's changing the face of sports. It's changing the world of sports. And, you know, it's powerful. That's all I can say. I don't know whether it's good or bad. It's what you make of it. But
can we talk about the Shanahan videos for just a second?
Absolutely. They're sparkly. I like sparkles.
They're sparkly, and he's so deadpan. I mean, I'm sure that he's not used to this kind of thing.
Right.
He's obviously reading. There was did you see the video of he and I believe it's Matthew Schneider discussing the new rules of headshots? And
no, I didn't. I didn't see that one. No,
Matthew Schneider is his eyes are going left to right more than Jimmy Fallon on any given night. Any night on
that's
his
a
show.
Lot.
Jimmy
that
Fallon
is a lot. Is
the
right
worst
there.
Reader ever. Yeah. But right now they're kind of cold and just hi. I'm Brendan Shanahan, the NHL senior VP of and. I swear with the amount of videos that he's going to be knocking these things out soon. He has had to record so many just in the preseason. Yep. I know that there's an adjustment period for players and changing the rules, but there have been so many suspensions already for headshots. I'm stunned by how many there are.
Yeah, it's
maybe it's just the Colin Campbell era that Colin Campbell wasn't so, you know, didn't do as much.
Well, there's they've always been there though, and some of them are unintentional. I don't there's not a lot of guys that headhunt, but a guy moves in a different way, and you know it's a fast game, and I'm coming across the ice, and I'm trying to detach this guy from the puck. I'm not trying for the most part to detach his head from his body, but my shoulder catches him on the chin. And, you know, now it's a headshot. The NHL definitely needs to look at this, but things are changing, and I think they're trying to figure it out on the fly, literally, what's going on. But your Shanahan point is he's totally deadpan. He's got the hockey face, too. He's got a perfect face for hockey. You can, you know, but he's got the blazer on and no tie. But it's just going to be interesting to see how that, I don't know how many. Well, I bet you I can find the tweet on Shanahan here, too. But, I mean, eventually he's just going to have that you know, that dead, his eyes are going to sink back further into his head. And here, I'm trying to find it though. I mean,
but NHL executive disease.
Yeah. He's just going to show up and, you know, be unshaven and just, you know, let's see, I got to find it here. I mean, it's just great. So it'll be interesting to watch this all play out. I mean,
absolutely. I'm going to talk about it more on the Rink podcast in the coming weeks, but it seems that there's so many, all of the rules since the lockout, all of the adjustments that have happened are in reaction to the up to speed that we've seen now that there's less clutching and grabbing, players are working out more, the speed and the violence, as in, you know, hitting and collisions and like, not just fighting. That's where all of these rule changes seem to be going to kind of curb and react to all of that. And I think this headshot one is the same. And without a speed adjustment in this league, it's going to be really hard to get those out of the game.
Maybe we should allow tackling. How about allow players to clutch and grab and tackle, and then they won't be moving this fast. Problem solved. Boom. There it is. How did I do?
Mandatory skate unsharpenings. You can only have your skates so sharp.
I pulled my groin again.
I'm just saying. I'm going to talk more about it on the Rink podcast at some point and have a discussion about that, because I think it's an important aspect of this game that's changed.
Absolutely.
From the speed and from the lockout, that just not just the speed of the game, but the reaction to it.
So. Yes. So, yeah, check that out. Rinkpodcast.com. Brandon Shanaban at NHL Shanaban on Twitter, Senior VP of Player Safety, NHL Vlogger, Dispenser of Shanabans, Wielder of the Shanhammer, and not Brandon Shanahan. So just good stuff. Most of the parody ones, there's a fake John Fox, which is the coach of the Broncos. There's a fake Studisville, who's the interim coach. There's a fake Josh McDaniels, old coach of the Broncos. They're okay. Shanahan's really, really good. So check that out if you aren't following that guy out there, everyone. And follow Brandon Shanahan as well to see the videos that we're talking about. If you haven't seen them yet, they're new and they're sparkly. And I like it. I think it's really interesting to watch them and really get the explanation from the man himself. And he doesn't need to do that, but he needs to do that all in one, you know. So, all right, from headshots to did you want to talk a little bit about last night, James? You put that in the notes. Avalanche finished 2-for-3 on the power play, 19 shots in the second period. Varlamov.
Without actually seeing the game, it's kind of hard to talk about the Frozen Fury game. Right. I went to Frozen Fury a few years ago, and it was awesome. It's basically like a Kings home game, except in Las Vegas with all the gambling and the drinking and the craziness and stuff like that. So more if you wear an Avalanche jersey, you're actually like walking into the place, you're walking. It's like Thunderdome.
I've heard it gets
enter, one fan leaves.
I've heard it gets kind of crazy.
It does. I had a guy point at my jersey, yelling at me, "Me no want, me no want." I'm just like, wow, this is crazy.
Well, you don't see that all the time.
No, you don't. And there was but I also saw Paul Stastny walking through the crowd. Out in the hallways, and I kind of followed him and took a few pictures, and other people are like, "What is that? Somebody?" He's like, "Dude, that's Paul Stastny." What? They were so shocked to actually see an NHL player.
Who's that guy
out on the concourse? Yeah,
yeah. So feels
it's Frozen Fury is an incredible environment. If you get a chance to go, you got to go. If you can go and wear an Avs jersey. It's great being in enemy territory like that. I had six guys behind me that quote unquote heckled me. They didn't really heckle me. They were really nice and we all just had a good time. And I believe the Avs won in the shootout. And so, and there were handshakes all around afterwards. It was a great time. So I think that's cool. Worth going to Frozen Fury. I know that some people make the trip every year.
Sure.
And it's worth it.
All right. Well, maybe we'll go together sometime. Would you like to do that?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That'd be fun.
That'd be awesome. As far as Varlamov stopping 13 or 14 shots, I think it's great. Good for him. If he's getting the chemistry together and figuring out what this Avs team is going to be like, because it's obviously a massive shift from the Capitals. You can't just plunk any goaltender down in front of any team and let them go, and it's going to be perfect. So if he's figuring out what the Avs are doing and the Avs are figuring out what he's doing, that's the whole purpose, and I'm happy for that.
Yeah. Absolutely. We all hope he does well, obviously. David Jones was on the top line. Is that something we'll need to get used to as well? Tape leg, what do you think?
Man, I don't know. That seems so... I mean, I guess somebody's got to fill the role, and who knows? It just... And I know that people are really expecting big things from Mueller, for instance, but he's been out of the game for a year.
Yeah.
That's Mueller. Not easy to come back from.
Mueller.
Looking at the forward line, I guess he is.
Mueller.
Yeah, I guess he Mueller. Mueller. I guess he is kind of Jones is kind of a top line at this point, but I think that's more through attrition than anything else right now.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. They really haven't come out. I mean, from what I hear, Dater says they're going to make the cuts today on Sunday the 2nd. So we'll have a better idea what the team's going to actually look like. And then I'm sure we'll get some line combinations after that. Along those lines as well, no captain has been mentioned, and there's really no timeline either. So there's, you know, you could go captain by committee. You could have three alternate captains throughout the season and rotate those. You could have the same three all season long. Nothing has been said yet. So I'm not, you know, excited or disappointed about that, but it's an interesting reality when, in fact, you know, the Avalanche have only seen and known two captains that are pretty epic and, you know, Avalanche legends in a sense. Who's going to be the next Avalanche legend as a captain? Could be nobody, could be somebody, could be a Hayduk who would be the captain for a year or two, and then they choose another captain after that. So I still don't have any guesses. My best guess is Hayduk, but that's just me. I know there's a lot of other people saying a lot of other things. Eric Johnson's another one where you just kind of start over. You bring the new guy in as a defenseman and make him the captain and kind of flip his switch. But you also have the Duchesnes and the Stastnys who, you know, are going to be here for a while. And who knows? But nothing along those lines quite yet. But we'll let you know via Twitter and Facebook.
I'm sure they're going to announce it at the game that they're going to build it up. It's going to be, you know, a production element. They're going to, you know, hype it and then go, and here is your new captain, or, you know,
and
bring him out that way.
Haven't thought about that.
It just, to me, it makes sense. If they're going to hold on this long, they might as well just do it opening night and make a big stink about it. And then some people are going to be happy and some people are just going to be disappointed. And that's just the way it goes. And if there's any perspective that I would want to say to any Az fan out there, when they make this announcement, just keep in mind that when Sakic was captain, when Foote was captain, there was a bad season for each of them. You know, there were not, it was not always cheery and sunny when those guys were captain either. So when you see who the new captain is, relax, let him have his space, or, you know, get mad if you want, but it's going to, you know, things change and you never know. It might as well give him a shot.
It makes a difference, but not that big of a difference. But it's
not to the point where everybody should freak out and get mad. And, you know, I mean, that's kind of fun in a way, but
that's what Twitter is for.
Let's just see what happens.
Yeah, that's what Twitter is for. You can vent.
Exactly.
Vent on Twitter and then let it go. It's always cool seeing the C on the jersey because it means something here. And because, you know, you've got one, you know, sure shot Hall of Famer and another that'll get some mentions. It'll be interesting which direction the team decides to go. I like your idea. I never thought about it being something that they maybe unveil during opening night. I'm interested to see I imagine they're going to wear Forsberg patches on their jerseys, and you know how excited I get about jerseys. So that'll be fun too. A lot of stuff opening night. That'll be, you know, emotional roller coaster, but overall it's hockey season. It's going to be a lot of fun. So,
man, that opening night is going to be a long night of hockey. The Forsberg, Locomotive, probably the captain. There's just going to be so much.
Yeah.
I don't know. Get a nap in before you go.
And that's where they will introduce the entire team as well. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I know you had mentioned on our last show, who's going to be on the bench for the Red Wings during the Forsberg thing. That might be interesting because he's got some teammates over there. He's got Lidstrom. He's got Holmstrom. He's got any other Swedes? Franzen. It'll be interesting to see if those guys are on the bench. I imagine they will be. It's always about class. And I know there was a lot of guys on the bench for the Sakic Knight thing as well. It's all about respect. And a lot of guys didn't like Forsberg for all the right reasons if you rooted for the team he was on at the time. But Peter Forsberg was a force. If any of us had a vote as far as Avalanche fans, he'd definitely be in the Hall of Fame. One of the best two-way players anybody's ever seen during an era. I mean, he and I guess Eric Lindros would probably be your two that were just forces on both ends of the ice. Just watch the highlights. There's like a 10-minute Forsberg highlight video that's just ridiculous. And if you weren't rooting for the team that jersey he was wearing, he pissed you off, and that was always good. But so it should be a great night. A lot of great highlights, a lot of cheers. You know, people in Denver love their Forsberg, so that's for sure. And I know you're excited to be in town, not only because it's opening night, but you're going to see some cool stuff.
Oh yeah, You know, I wouldn't also be surprised if some of those, you know, if some of the Red Wings players are out there for the Forsberg ceremony, also to see what the Avalanche do for Lokomotiv, because of course Ruslan Slay was their teammate as well.
That is true. Yeah, it's going to be an emotional roller coaster. So bring your tissues. Speaking of that, keep an eye on Twitter. James's tape leg. I am Avs Hockey Podcast, AVSHKY Podcast. Keep an eye on that. I think we're going to, there's already been some mentions of where we're going to meet up, and we'd also like to talk to some of you. So James, do you want to give a little more description about what that might look like?
Just, you know, if we're going to, we'd like to meet up with some of the fans. You know, we love hanging out in intermission with other Avs fans, with listeners. You know, of course, Jay's massive fan base that has been campaigning to get him into the podcasting Hall of Fame. But
did you say
avail yet?
You said massive.
Massive.
Wow.
Massive. Large amounts of fans of Jay Veen himself.
Wrong word. But wrong word.
We'd love to meet up with you guys and maybe talk and maybe even talk about a little bit for the podcast. You know, get some of your opinions and put them on the next show. So we'd love to see you there. We don't know exactly what yet. We'd love to see you during the show or during the game at the intermission, possibly after, get your take on the night and, how you felt about things. If we have the new captain, maybe what you thought about it. As Jay says, details coming because I actually am flying in the day before to see the game and then flying out. So it's a little bit of a rush thing for me. But we'll be figuring something out, and you can find it on Twitter. I'm sure we'll probably put something up on the Facebook fan page and possibly even at the website for the Avs Hockey Podcast, which is avshockeypodcast.com.
Absolutely.
So keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, definitely. If you're not following us all three of those places, definitely do that. Yeah. And on my blog, at least you get some jersey stories too. You can learn, if you go there now, you can learn a little bit more about the jersey I'm planning on wearing opening night. And you've already heard what James is going to be wearing. So you can get a little sense for our style, and you can ask us what we're wearing at the same time. So keep an eye on those places. We'll have some more details. I think what we'll do is we'll just build off of other tweet ups that people have put together, but we'll meet upstairs somewhere and talk between periods and say hi. It's always good to we've met most of the people already that are on Twitter that follow us. But if there's any new people or whatever, just, you know, let us know you'll be there and we'll look for you and it'll be fun. Maybe we can even get Mosier to come down and say hi. He does that every once in a while, although I'm sure he'll be busy, but he may be able to do that. So, foot tribute night. I got to expect that either sometime this year, James, or maybe they'll just do it opening night next year to get people excited. Although we're coming up, is there like a 15-year anniversary for something coming up? A 10-year anniversary for the 2001 team should be this year, right?
Yes.
Maybe they'll. Yes, no, I haven't heard of anything like that. Maybe they'll do a 15-year anniversary like they did for the 96. I don't know. There's a Rob Blake night. Did you hear about that?
No.
They didn't push it at all, but there is within one of the 14-game packs, there's a Rob Blake Alumni Hall of Fame or whatever Avalanche night. So, yeah, that'll they didn't do a good job of like announcing that or anything. But from what I'm trying to click around here and find it here. But there is a Rob Blake night scheduled. It's not for a while, though, so we can talk about it our next show. But they'll be honoring Rob Blake. I'm sure they'll have some great highlights of him just hammering people with his hip check. He's actually working with Shanahan now. I wonder if Shanahan eventually will just be like, Blakey, you do some, cause I'm sick of doing these. So I can have Rob Blake.
I'm Rob Blake. And this is what a good hip check looks like.
Here's a bad check, everybody. Three games. Boom. Have a good one.
And here's what I do, which is rocking.
That's right. So no big transactions since the last podcast. I mean, there'll just be a lot of movement. I don't think they'll make any trades or anything like that. But they should announce sometime in the very, very near future. Probably by the time you've heard this, you'll know who's going to be on the final roster, and we can break that down and see how things are going within our next show. Don't forget to get your curse word gear as well. Our Twitter sensation. We've sold literally singles and singles of shirts so far. So how many have we sold?
Ones and ones.
We sold one?
Oh, I don't know.
We sold a couple shirts. And I mean, it's just a huge source of income for us. With that money, we might be able to buy a burrito and we can share it three different ways or whatever we need to do. But, there's a blog post on IavsHockeyPodcast.com explaining curse word gear. Get your curse word gear, man. All the cool kids are getting it, which is nobody, but, definitely check it out.
And you can find it easily at curseword.net.
Curseword.net. Nice. We got our own site for that too. I think that's about it. James, are you prepared? I know we've mentioned everything. Do you just want to put a nice little bow on everything and just mention where you can find everybody, including yourself?
Oh man, why do you always spring that on me and I'm never prepared?
Don't act like you don't know it's coming, because we do it every show, and I know you can do this in your sleep. I just always catch you off guard as far as when we're going to do this.
It's too early in the morning.
This is all I get. I get excuses. This is what I get. I get excuses and reasons why we can't do this. I don't know about this whole thing.
I know you're very disappointed. You can always find the Avs Hockey Podcast at www.avshockeypodcast.com. In the sidebar there, you can find out about how to get to the Facebook fan page. You can check out the Twitter stream. You can find Jay at AVSHKY podcast, and you can find me on Twitter at Tapeleg, TAPELEG. My podcast, The Rink Podcast, is gearing back up again, going for a weekly schedule, rinkpodcast.com, and my blog is Jerseys and Hockey Love, which you can find at jerseysandhockeylove.com. I think that about wraps it up.
That's it. Yeah, we've got our iTunes as well. Find us on iTunes, subscribe to the feed. That's where we'll be. Leave some comments. If you leave a comment, it makes it easier for people to find our podcast. I really appreciate those of you that have taken the time to leave feedback so far. You can also, if Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff, if you just want to email me, you can do that as well. I pass along everything I can to Tapeleg as well, avalanchepodcast@comcast.net. So that's fine too. I know sometimes on Twitter and sometimes on Facebook it's a little too public, but hey, if you just want to get in touch and chat with me personally, if you need to, avalanchepodcast@comcast.net. Otherwise, that's it. Episode number 66 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche. We're through. James, are you awake yet, or you still need some time?
I just finished grinding all of the coffee grounds into my eyeballs.
Right on. I hear that's a good way. Rather than, you can just swallow the dry ones and they go straight, especially if you haven't eaten anything. But eyeballs is a great way to get to where it needs to go to.
Waking up.
Awkward silence. All right.
It's always, you know what, the Avs, it's always the Avs talk that wakes me up. It's getting me excited for the season. And I'll tell you, the last couple of seasons when the preseason is ended and I'm like, wow, it's just around the corner. I can't believe it. I'm not quite super excited. I'm not really ready for it. This year, I feel really ready for the season. I am so ready for the season to start. I'm excited about where the team is going. I'm excited to see hockey in general. It's just, I'm very ready for it. And last couple seasons, I've been a little ready, but not quite as excited. This year, man, let's do it. This is going to be a fun season to watch, I believe.
That's because you want to get jiggy with it.
I do. I'm going to save. I am so excited to have J.S. Chiguerre on the team. I am not even kidding here. I recently picked up a Rockford Ice Hogs jersey. You heard that right. Rockford Ice Hogs.
Oh, yeah.
I love this jersey. I've been wanting one for a few years, but I am actually going to save my pennies for a little bit. Maybe have to get myself a Chiguerre jersey.
I like how you roll. Really excited. I like how you roll. There hasn't been an official announcement that Maigret is going to take care of the Avalanche jerseys this year. That makes me nervous in a way, because so many teams are falling off the Maigret radar. But hopefully the Avalanche will have that partnership with them again. And you can go there and buy the jersey that they're wearing right now. You can buy a jersey that they're going to wear later in the season. You know, if they're hurt or not, that jersey is going to be made, and you can end up with the jersey that they're wearing that night on your back. I did that with one of Adam Foote's jerseys. I did that with Malden's jersey too. So you can actually watch the jersey that's going to be yours as they play the game. So it's kind of a cool thing. And I've, you know, obviously talked James into doing that enough. And there's a couple other listeners, Katie Martinez, Tim Vandertuk, who actually bought their own jerseys as well. So, well, they were both, Philippe Dupuis, and then he left. But that's all part of the Jersey game. So
hey,
one
quick shout out I wanted
go
to
ahead,
give.
Go ahead.
Quick shout out to Randy Kroger, because since our last podcast, Randy stationed overseas in Japan, and he came to Colorado, and we hung out, and we watched Scott Thurston, and we watched his team, his our beer league team, the Reapers, playing their first playoff game. And it was great. We had a really good time. So it was great to see Randy and finally meet him. It's fun to watch some local guys playing hockey, and keep an eye out, because, you know, if you play, if you skate, we might be doing some stick and puck times. Every so often, Jay comes out and you know, puts his gigantic body into you to
gigantic.
Slam you into the ice. He's gigantic.
You're
like 8'9". You're like Chara big.
I'm going to Rob Blake you next time then for all these little. Big shout out to Scott Pantol, who we skate with as well. And a shout out to Arben Reimer, my golf partner. We took Mosier on again, and that's what we do. But so, yeah, get together with us as we score the hockey puck and score the golf ball.
I swear, I need a fake Jay Veen Twitter account, except all it would say is score the hockey puck. That's what we do.
That's what we do.
All it would be over and over.
Oh, you know, you called my fan base massive, but I don't have, there's not a fake Jay Veen yet. But like you had mentioned in the tweet a couple days ago, there wouldn't be any followers. But you know you're big if you have a fake account of you, a parody of you. So maybe
I'm going to take care of this right now.
Maybe someday, but not today. So, all right, episode number 66, the Peter Forsberg edition of the show, in the books. We will be back in a couple weeks. We will hopefully have some feedback from the fans to be included into the show. We'll talk about how the season has gone, and we'll kind of go from there. We've got it's hockey season. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. So looking forward to seeing as many of you as possible. James, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing you and doing some face-to-face podcasting. And thank you very much for your time and everything.
Thank you.
Travel safely. And for everybody else out there, if you're brand new, welcome. Hopefully you enjoy the show and stick with us. For those of you that have been faithful to me for, you know, this is season number 5, I definitely appreciate it. I wouldn't do it if I didn't know people were listening, and I know people are listening, so we're going to keep on doing it. So thank you so much for your support, for your time. And until next time, we'll see you next time. Take care. I always screw this up. Take care. Let's go Avs. And James and I will see you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. See you later.